I guess all of us have settled down. I would like to greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning. Good morning. I want you to turn to your neighbor and give them a firm handshake. A firm handshake until they feel it. A firm handshake until they feel it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, that's enough, that's enough. I'd like to give God honor and glory for giving us this opportunity to be able to be seated here in this church. And I don't take it for granted that each one of us is seated here, that it is through God who has enabled you to be here this morning. Praise the living God. Where I come from, when I say praise the living God, people say amen. Praise the living God. Amen. Yes. And as you are moving, as you are coming to church, maybe if you're sensitive, you realize there were people who are walking outside there. You realize that there were people even running outside there. And probably some of you, you've left your brothers and sisters or even your family back at home doing their normal duties. And even there are people who probably they're worshiping God alone. But you know, it is one thing to worship God alone, but it is another thing where two or more are gathered. And the word says, where two or more are gathered, in my name, I am with them. And I want to tell you, my fellow believers, that God is with us in this room right now in Jesus' name. Praise God. Today, I'd like us to get our reading from the letter to the Romans, chapter number 12, verse 1 to 2. And I'd like us to briefly reflect on it. I'll read. The word says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And today I'm going to speak to you on a sermon entitled Transforming in the Age of Conformity. And shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, we say thank you for this opportunity. We pray the Lord, may the meditation of our hearts and even the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. Because we pray, believing, and trusting in Jesus' name. Amen. Transforming in the age of conformity. I want you to tell your neighbor, transforming in the age of conformity. And as many of you know, we are currently living, I want us to briefly reflect on this. We are currently living in an age of conformity. But maybe a critical question you might ask yourself, what is the relationship of transforming in the age of conformity? A relation of transforming to conformity. And conformity in itself is a process whereby people change their mind. People change their attitudes. People change their behavior. And sometimes people change their perception to fit that of the patterns of this world. And probably if you're also very keen, you realize but that most of the time, when you don't comply or walk in the patterns of this world, most of the time you're seen as an odd one out. Is anyone who have ever experienced that? Anyone who've ever experienced that? That most of the time when you don't do as your social group does, or as your family does, or as the people who've not known Christ do, most of the time you're seen as an odd one out. And I want to bring to you an encouragement today. Because the letter of Romans was written to Christians like us, and Paul was writing this letter to the church, to the Roman church. And the Roman church was comprised of both the Gentiles and the Jews, which is the same as us here. Of course, for us, we are even more international, more intercultural, more interlingual, and so on and so forth. You realize that when you read chapter 1, verse 9, you realize that that church was in a world of depravity. That church was in a world of evil. That church was in a world of strife. That world was in a world of many vices. And these are the same thing that we as Christians today, we are facing. And when I was reflecting about this, I realized that we have 1 week to I didn't realize it is true. We have 1 week to next year. I was reflecting back and looking back and seeing, did I conform to the pattern of this world, or did I transform by the renewal of our mind? Can we look as a church back and say, indeed, we were transformed by the renewal of our mind and not conforming to the pattern of this world? And this verse and these verses that we've read this morning speaks to us, even to our church today, because it is very important for us to be able to understand what we believe and even why we believe in what we believe. Because a strong understanding of what we believe will enable us to live in this society that is so in need of love and transformation. Praise the living God. And in our text, the word says, therefore. And this marks a conclusion of something. And if I know most of you are going through Romans, the book of Romans, that's right? Yeah, and when you read from Romans chapter 1, verse 11, you realize that its content is more of doctrines. And now chapter 11 is a conclusion of the doctrinal section. And in chapter 12 to chapter 15, now Paul moves into the practical implication. What God had already done to the people now has to be put into action. Praise the living God. And the word says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. And other version says, I beseech you, brethren. I beseech you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And you realize, if you've read the Old Testament, you realize the people of Israel, most of the time they would do wrong thing, and the anger of God will be upon them, and they will turn back to Him. But when God loved the world and He gave His only begotten Son, that me and you will be reconciled to Him, His mercy was manifested in our lives. And therefore, Paul is reminding this Christian and even us today, in God's mercy, let us offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. As offering our bodies as a living sacrifice is being compelled by this mercy of God, that what He did for us. Because of what He has done for us, we are compelled to offer our bodies as living sacrifice. But if you note one thing here, the word is talking about living sacrifice. And in the Old Testament, people offered, am I going so fast? People offered dead animals for them to be able to be reconciled to God. But now the word is talking about living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Here, Paul is even reminding us that when Christ came on earth and He died on the cross on behalf of our sins, we died with Him, and when He resurrected, we resurrected with Him for those who received God. And therefore, the new has come and the old has gone. And therefore, He says, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Your bodies, and here when He talks about body, He does not talk only about our physical body, at the offering our only physical body. It talks about offering our minds, our hearts, and even our body in itself. Because the word says, even as Psalmist says, God, give me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew the right spirit within me. And we need to have that desire to even give God our hearts to Him. He says also in His word that our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And therefore, we are encouraged that because of what He has done for us, how best can we respond in this? the best way we can respond in these is by offering our bodies as living sacrifice. The word continues and says, this is your spiritual act of worship. That's so deep. that you offering your bodies as living sacrifice to him, that is the spiritual act of worship. The Bible continues saying that verse 2, that do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And Paul reminds this church and these Christians in that age of conformity, and even in our age right now, that we should not continue any longer conforming to those patterns that we used to conform to before we received Christ. As you many know, before you received Christ, your life was, we can't explain it right now here. Your life was filled with lots of things that are not pleasing to God. And Paul is urging us that we should not continue any longer doing the things that we used to do when we had not received Christ. And he says in his word, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing. And I like sometimes details when I read the Bible. It's using a passive voice. If you've ever studied English, you realize, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It is a passive voice. You realize this transformation, it is not done by ourselves. It is not done by our works. But there is somebody who does this transformation in our life. And I want to tell you that person is our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the living God. But be transformed. And in Greek word, it is metamorpho, which, and I know most of the scientists here can explain the process of metamorphosis to us. Because metamorpho means a change in form. For example, when a caterpillar changes to a beautiful butterfly, that is a process of metamorphosis. And the word is using the word metamorpho, that be transformed, be changed into a new form. By what? By the renewing of our mind. I'm wondering, why mind? Why mind? Because our mind is always a gateway of many evils of this world. And one thing I want to tell you that even is coming into our churches is that we have this deception in our churches where our minds are so elevated. Our minds are full of knowledge. Our minds know the truth. But the thing that has not happened is that truth has not been reflected in our heart. And somebody once said, some people miss heaven because of the distance between your mind and your heart. That you know the truth, but you've refused that truth to work deep within your heart. That the word says that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. It is one thing to know the truth, but unless if God asks you to do something and then you don't do it, then how is that truth setting you free? Unless you respond to that truth that he's saying, then that's when that truth sets you free, by the renewing of our minds. And this, and when he talks even of our mind, this will be determined to us as Christian on where we put our minds. Do we put our minds to the things of this world, or do we put our minds above? And I'm not telling you that you need to come out of this world, because we are in the world, but we are not of. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Then you will be able, the word says, and this is the icing sugar on the cake. I don't know which part of the cake you always start with. I don't know if you always start with the icing sugar or you start with the cake. But this is the icing sugar on the cake. And the word says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How many are seated here when you're beginning your year? And you're thinking of yourself, what is God's will in my life? What is God's will in my studies? What is God's will even in my family? What is God's will in my undertaking? What is real God's will? And here the word is telling us, when we are transformed, we are able to test and approve God's will. But you know, in the Bible, it talks about many wills. It talks about the sovereign will of God, of which here it's not talking about the sovereign will of God. The sovereign will of God is for example, when Jesus said, if it's your will, remove this cup out. Yeah? Do we read our Bibles? Yeah, that the sovereign will, most of the time, it is God's who desires it to be. And if we believe it or not, it will happen. But here it's talking about the God's will of command. And most of the time we have a choice either to obey it or not. And most of the time we fall short of this. We don't obey it. That we may test and approve what God's will is. His good and pleasing. And it is good and pleasing. Praise the living God. It is good and pleasing. Praise the living God. It is good and pleasing. Praise the living God. Amen. And just as I conclude, I want to just share three things. I know you're already looking at your watches. I'll just share three things. As I know sometimes we come to church and you enter the church and you're eager to start the service. And then the moment the service starts, you're very eager for it to end. But let me tell you one thing. So, as the Spirit leads, anyway, we'll finish in time. I'd like to give you three things. And the first thing is that transformation is an immediate and a process in the same time. That when we receive Christ into our lives, God transforms us. That the old is gone and the new has come. But now when we live in this world, you realize that we are still living in the world. We are still living in this world of conformity. We still live in this world of strife, evil. Therefore, God transforms, it becomes a process where we always seek God to transform us and every moment in our lives. Because we'll be transformed until the end of the age. And that should be always our desire. And secondly, is that transformation is not a human product or a manufacture, but it is God's work. And this is where I want you to get right, that it is not us trying to work hard or do good, force ourselves to do good for us to be able to be transformed. But it is for us to understand that even in our will to do that which is good, that we are able to know the reality that God is at work in our lives, that God is at work in our different undertakings, and therefore transformation comes from Him. That even when you read the Word, you can read the Word and have a lot of Bible verses in your mind, but that transformation comes from Him. Praise the living God. Praise the living God. And thirdly, and lastly, is that when you are transformed, it changes your priorities and your perspective. When you are transformed, your priorities changes. And when I'm talking about priorities, I know all of us have different priorities. And some of us, our priority is God first. Uh-huh. And then who's next? God first. And then our family. Uh-huh. And then maybe friends, or sometime work, and then work. But now I'm not talking about these priorities. I'm talking about God being in everything that you do. God being in your plans and activities. I'm telling you, some of us, we do our morning devotion, but we leave God in our devotion. Oh, that is deep. You have to tweet that. That most of us do our devotion, but we leave God in our devotion. That when we go to work and people make us angry, we react in a worldly way instead of acting in a godly way because we leave God in our devotion. But I'm telling you, God desires that you walk with Him in your life. That when you go to that work, go with God. When you go to that volunteer work, go with God. When you're going to the market, go with God. That when those when those vices come across you, you will be able to work, to act in a godly, pleasing manner. Praise the living God. Praise the living God. And therefore, it changes our priority. And that should be our desire, that God transforms us from inside out. That it will change even the way we see worship. That even when we were worshiping here, that you will not just stand and close your hands and just look at what people are doing. When we are worshiping, you will realize who you are worshiping. Because if you know who you are worshiping, you can't sit and just watch us like this. What are they doing? You will worship God because you know Him. And as I conclude, I believe that God is calling us even as we go to next year, that He's urging us as Christian in His own mercy to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice and not any longer to conform to this pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our mind, that we may attest His good and pleasing will. And shall we pray?